Praise to Christ, our Lord.
As we come to God's word, let us pray together. Lord, as we look at your word this day, would you by your Spirit speak life and health and encouragement into our hearts as we seek to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to be seated, very good morning. So have you had a good week? How are you today? Getting good answers. I wonder if I was to go around and ask everyone that question individually, what I would get. Would I get lots of good, maybe lots of bad, maybe just some in-between answers? If you ask a question like that to an Englishman like me, you're likely to get the answer, oh, I'm fine, which is actually no answer at all. It's avoiding the question, really. So I have a great definition of the answer fine when we're asked the question, how are you? Come up on the screen. So fine means, up on the screen, guys, friend in need of encouragement. So next time somebody says, oh, I'm fine, you got to encourage them because they're looking for some encouragement, I think. Actually, aren't we always looking for encouragement? And don't we all at times need encouragement? Am I right? I am. Therefore, if we are looking for encouragement, we also need to learn to be encouragers of others. Then we can encourage one another. Our church camp that we had at the beginning of June, the pastor, Pastor Chua, had one thing that he really wanted us to come away with, and that was to learn to bless one another, to be ones who bless. And my takeaway, therefore, is that we need to be able to encourage one another, to bless one another, and that's why we've got our theme today and this passage that I've chosen. Because sometimes, sadly, it can be so much easier to criticize, can't it? It can be so much easier to complain than it is to encourage and to bless. And you know that sometimes when we do want to motivate somebody, sometimes, yes, we do have to be sometimes direct, maybe even strict. But I think the way to truly inspire, I think the way to really build up inner confidence is always to encourage. Less stick, more carrot, we might want to say. Remember when you used to go and visit your children at sports day at school? I used to love doing that. I'm not so sure how much you do that in Singapore. I did find a few videos that showed that you do that. But I used to love going watching my little children back in the UK at sports day. I don't know, did you used to have the sack race and the egg and spoon race? Yeah, getting nods down here. And those sort of races. And just imagine you're there and you're encouraging your children on and you're cheering your children on and you're not too worried if they've dropped an egg off of their spoon. You just want them to pick it up and get on. And some parents might go and pick the egg up and put it on the spoon and help them. Encouraging and cheering one another on. That is the picture that I want us to think about today. I think this is a theme within our passage as we learn how to be encouragers of one another. I remember when I was at university doing my ordination studies, my children then were in their early teenagers. And they used to go swimming club, and I was in residential, so I used to be away and come home at weekend. And I used to rush home so I could come and watch them at their swimming lessons. They were never going to be Joseph schooling, but I was there cheering them on, helping them on, even if one of them always used to like to run along the floor because he wasn't a very good swimmer, so he used to run along the bottom. But I was there encouraging him on and cheering him on. We're called to be encouragers. We're called to be what I want to call a cheering church, where we cheer one another on in our Christian walk. And this is the image found in our passage. The letter to Hebrews is written to the very early Jewish Christians who were undergoing a great deal of pressure in their faith. There were troubles, there were struggles, and they needed to be encouraged onwards. And this is what the writer to the Hebrews is seeking to do throughout that letter. They needed encouraging onwards, and we all need that at some times, don't we? And the context of all of this, chapter 12, is that great chapter of Hebrews, chapter 11. It's like the great roll call of Bible heroes, those who have gone before, just like a crowd of witnesses, the Hebrews writer describes them. And so in chapter 11, we're reminded of those great Old Testament characters. There's the patriarchs, there's Abel. If you remember, he honors God with the acceptable sacrifice. There is Enoch. He lives a life of righteousness. There is Noah with his unswerving obedience. There's Abraham with his unwavering trust in God's promises. We read on and we're told of Isaac and of Jacob and of Joseph, each one blessed by God, each one passing on the blessing of God to the next generations. We're given the examples of Moses, the faithful prophet, standing against an evil empire. We're told about the courageous Joshua as he leads the people of God out into the promised land. And then the writer continues, and the words should come up on the screen. He says, "For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through their faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might get a better life. Others, suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment." These are great examples of faith, witnesses who have gone before us. But very possibly you might be sitting there thinking, hey, hold on, that's fine for Bible heroes. But I am just me. I am just me. But what we need to remember about each one of these Bible heroes, that they were also frail human beings. Each one of them had, if I had time to tell you, if we were to look at each one of these characters, we would find that they had a story of weakness. They had a story of brokenness. They had a story of failure. Within their stories, each one of them needed somebody to come along and encourage them and pick them up and to help them onwards. So it's important that we understand this when we read this part of Hebrews. It's not just because these were people of great faith. It was because they persevered in their faith. It's because they grappled with real life issues and struggles. You see, they knew what it was like to run the race, and they had reached the finishing line. And now, according to the writer of Hebrews, they've not just disappeared to nowhere, they've not become extinct, but they are now like a crowd of witnesses in heaven. They're encouraging us onwards. They are cheering us on. We have this wonderful image of heaven itself encouraging us on in our Christian walk and race. So that is my first main point, and don't worry, the rest are not that long. But we are encouraged by the example of others. The scriptures that we've just seen give us examples of that. But so do the lives of the saints that have come after that. When I was a fairly new Christian, I met a Nigerian Assemblies of God pastor. And a long story cut short, He came and he stayed with us in our house in England. And he was a very fiery, enthusiastic disciple of Jesus. And a long story cut short, he had one thing that he wanted to do while he was visiting in the UK. And that one thing he really wanted to do was to visit St. Paul's Cathedral in London. And I wondered, why would he, an African Pentecostal pastor, want to visit a really old Anglican cathedral in Europe? And when I took him there and began to walk around with him, I discovered why. Because as we walked around, and St. Paul's Cathedral has got loads of sculptures in it and statues, he began to tell me the stories of the saints. He began to introduce me to people I had never heard of before. He told me about the apostolic fathers, Ignatius of Antioch, Polycarp of Smyrna, Clement of Rome. He told me stories of passionate faith, of powerful witness, of martyrdom even. He told me about the apologists, the great Christian thinkers, Irenaeus, Justin, Athanasius, Augustine. Stories of great witness at a time of terrible persecutions. As he told me the stories of the saints, I discovered he knew far more of the spiritual heritage of my nation than I knew myself. And it was truly inspirational. It inspired me to find out more. In fact, it was that conversation that day that led me to my call to ordination. And I was inspired by others as I went to find out more about my own Christian faith. So I found about the reformers, Wycliffe, Cranmer, Ridley, John Knox, the Puritan pastors that have influenced me so much, Richard Baxter, John Bunyan. Then there are great preachers, forgive me, this is all from England, that's where I'm from, but John Wesley, Charles Spurgeon, Charles Simeon, the great social reformers, William Wilberforce, William Booth, Lord Shaftesbury. There's the missionaries then that came and spread out into the continents and into the nations, Hudson Taylor, C.T. Studd, David Livingstone. I guess there are names amongst all of those that you have heard before. Discover more about them. The Christian faith is full of inspiration. It's full of struggle in life and then victory within life. It's full of people changing and nation changing and culture changing adventure. We are surrounded by a crowd of witnesses who have passed on the baton of faith, who are inspiring and cheering us on. Please let us never devalue the Christian faith into a Sunday pastime. And then there are those that have cheered us on, the saints that have helped us personally, those who have encouraged us in our faith by their own personal witness, somebody who has led you to Christ, somebody who has helped you through a struggle in life, somebody who has spurred you on in a difficulty, somebody who has shown you what is possible by the Holy Spirit within a weak human being's life like yours and mine. So I think of dear Marjorie. She was my spiritual, godly grandmum. She patiently sat in the house group that I first led, a new leader, Christian leader, and she patiently listened to me, put up with me, tolerated me, and encouraged me. I then think of Reverend Chris Harvey. He took the risk of opening up his pulpit to this raw, young, rough, early 20-something or another young man to preach in his church. My first preaching actually was about the faith of the saints. I think of Halima. She was from Ghana, a converted drug dealer, now in prison in the infamous Bangkok Hilton Women's Prison in Bangkok, leading the most vibrant church I've ever preached in. I think of pastors Luther and Carol and Shamir, These are Anglican clergy of the displaced Karen people in the refugee camps in Western Thailand I used to visit. Faithful to the gospel, loving their people, being church in the most challenging of situations. Looking to me to be teaching them the Bible, but they were teaching me far more about faith than I could ever teach them. We are surrounded by a crowd of witnesses, cheering us on, inspiring, encouraging. I don't know who you can think of in your own life that has encouraged you, told you about Christ, maybe helping you struggle through something now. Now that person might have already gone to be with the Lord. Dear Marjorie, who I told you about, she died quite a few years ago. But we can take hope because they're still in heaven cheering us on. Crowd of witnesses. Be encouraged. But maybe they are still living. And I wonder, have you ever gone to those who have helped you and said thank you? Thank you for leading me to Christ. Thank you for encouraging me through that difficult time. I told you about Reverend Chris Harvey. He's now 90 plus. He has Parkinson's disease. And I went to visit him just a couple of years ago just to tell him thank you so much. So go and say thank you. And then amongst all of this, there's a challenging question for us. And the question is, who are we encouraging? Who are we cheering on in their life of faith? Who are we seeking to inspire in their Christian walk and race? You know, in a big church and a complicated church like St. Andrew's Cathedral, the clergy, the pastoral workers cannot do this. We need each other. And if we just take a few people, maybe just one person to walk alongside, to encourage, to commit to pray for them, to support them, to walk with them, who knows what God can do in that one person? Who knows what God can do through that person? Every one of the Bible heroes, every one of the saints of old had somebody who encouraged them onwards. And would they have ever known how they might have served Christ? We never know what the fruit of our ministry is going to be very often. We should be just faithful, encouraging others. It's called discipleship. So we are encouraged on by others, and we are to encourage others onwards. But what are we encouraging towards? So we're just going to look at our scripture in the last few minutes. First of all, we're encouraged to persevere and to finish the race. Actually, just a few weeks ago, I told you in another sermon that I was once an athlete at my school. Can you remember? I'm actually quite a good sprinter. And actually, sprinting is quite easy, because sprinting, all you do for 100 or 200 meters, you look at the finishing line and you just run as fast as you can. Like Usain Bolt. I was never quite that fast, but... But one thing I never liked to do at school was the cross-country race. And the school I used to go to, every week we had to run across country. And that cross country was 9 miles. That is over 14 kilometers. For you Singaporeans, it's halfway across your country. A long way to run. And during that, it was always through farmland and through the woodlands that surrounded my school. And there were muddy potholes, there were thorny bushes, there were stinging nettles. And we had to do it in all weathers, no excuses. And when you're running across country, and I don't know if you have, but you can never see the finishing line till you get very close to it. And it always seems a very long way away. It's out of sight till the very end. The writer to the Hebrews says in verse 1, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The Christian journey is not a stroll through the botanical gardens or by gardens by the bay, as nice as those places are. It's not a short sprint getting to the end as quick as possible. It's more like a cross-country marathon. And it requires endurance. It requires commitment. It requires preparation and training if we are to run it well and if we are to finish well. And so the writer goes on to encourage us further. He says we are encouraged to be free to run. So he says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The Message translates this very graphically. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. We're encouraged to run free. And the word that is used here, the Greek word, is onkon. It means to let go of a burdensome load. And it's trying to describe anything that holds us back from running in the race. So it's like a runner should not wear excess clothing. No good running in robes like this. Even in a tracksuit, you have to run down to your running equipment. No good trying to run with heavy boots on. You have to lose that. The word describes about running, getting rid of excess weight, being fit. Since I came back from my leave in England a couple of months ago, just over 1 month ago, I've lost 3 kilos. Pretty good, huh? My wife's lost 7 kilos. Wow, yeah. We're a lot fitter. I'm not sure how good we are at running nowadays. But we need to get rid of all that holds us back, all that prevents us running for the Lord. In other words, we have to run the race light. We need to shed sin. We need to be free of those wrong habits, free of those wrong attitudes, free of ambitions that cumber upon us because we're looking elsewhere, free of indulgences that we get involved in, and it's like fat upon us, stops us from being fit. It might mean letting go of past hurts and resentments and jealousies that we hold on to and weigh us down, unforgiveness, even anger. All these things cause us to stumble, hold us back in our walk of faith. So is there anything that you need to let go of to lighten the load? And our gospel reading, Jesus is our burden bearer. He is the one that we give all this over to so that we might be free to run the race and to run the race well. And you know, this is part of our encouraging one another. It's part of our discipling. Because encouraging sometimes does mean the difficult things. Sometimes it does mean gently encouraging another into holiness. Maybe into more gracious behavior. Maybe to use kinder words. Maybe it might mean praying for them, walking alongside them, helping them to change. It's part of our encouraging in discipleship. But of course, whenever we do this, we also have got to be open the other side. Somebody longing coming alongside us, encouraging us in our holiness and our walk with Jesus. And then finally, we're encouraged to look to Jesus. We need the encouragement of one another, the main thought of the talk this morning. We need inspiration from others as we press onwards. We need to encourage others onwards. But whether we're being inspired by others, whether we are inspiring others, our focus is always on the Lord Jesus himself. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus is our prime example. And Jesus is the one to whom we look, and Jesus is actually the goal towards whom we run. He is the one who faithfully endured the race that was set before him. He never ever lost sight of the cross towards which he was heading. No matter what came his way, he pushed through the suffering, he pushed through the trials, he persevered against the hostility, and he won the ultimate victory. He completed the work of his Father in heaven. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the starting place. He is the finishing line. He is the one to whom we look. And he, of course, is the master encourager. He too there is alongside us as we journey. He too there is picking us up when we need it. He is there cheering us on with the crowds of witness as we run our race for him. Our encouragement comes from him. But he has given us each other. He has given us each other to encourage in this reality of living faith, to cheer each other on that we might fulfill the call that Jesus has on our lives, to encourage each other on to the goal which is Jesus, to know him more and to love him better and to serve him fully. All for the glory of God the Father. So brothers and sisters, this is what we're about as church. And let us be a cheering church together. Let's pray. Lord, as we sit in your presence for a moment, we are conscious of the sin that so easily burdens us, the struggles that fill our lives and holds us back in our Christian walk. And so we pray that you would come by your Spirit. Come as our encourager. Come and lift us up where we need it. Come and challenge us and push us forward where we need it. And Lord, as we are running the race, Lord, would you help us to be encouragers of others, the brothers and sisters alongside us. Lord, would you give us people that we might cheer on and inspire. And Lord, would you put people in our path that would cheer on and inspire us. Lord, we want to commit ourselves to you this day. In Jesus' name, amen.